This is Akashwani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on assembly elections in Maharashtra and Jharkhand. The participants are Sandeep Phukan and Aditi Tandon, political analysts. The moderator is Anubha Rotki, anchor.
Elections to the legislative assemblies of Maharashtra and Jharkhand will be held in less than a fortnight. Voters will cast their ballots for the 288-member Maharashtra Assembly in a single phase on November 20th, while those in Jharkhand will exercise their franchise in two phases, November 13th and November 20th, for the 81-member Assembly. Results for both these elections will be declared on 23rd November. To discuss issues related to these elections, we have in our studios today political analyst Sandeep Phukan and Aditi Tandon. Sandeep and Aditi, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aditi and Sandeep, my first question is to both of you. How significant are these assembly elections that are happening in Maharashtra and Jharkhand, not just from the state point of view, but also from a national perspective? Sandeep.
Well, I would say it's very, very important for both the sides. The BJP would obviously would like to maintain its winning streak. Haryana was a surprise. Perhaps, I don't know if they had really sort of given themselves a chance to win Haryana for the straight third term. The Congress was more than confident that it would win that state, but it didn't happen. So BJP won that, and they would want that winning streak, to that momentum to continue. And they would certainly like to win Maharashtra, which is a big prize, as well as Jharkhand, where right now the India bloc is in power. So far as Congress is concerned, they would definitely like to win, at least if not both the states, they would definitely like to win. The Mahavikas Aghadi Congress is part of the Mahavikas Aghadi. So they would definitely like to win this Maharashtra, because it's a big state. And, you know, it'll be very, very politically significant if they can win this state. So they would want to sort of break that defeat that they suffered in Haryana. They would that streak of bad luck, as it were, and win a state.
I would like to add here to what Sandeep said is it's a very crucial election. One, because it's important for the Congress. Congress is the biggest party in the opposition bloc that is fighting in the Mahavikas Aghadi, contesting 103 seats out of 288. And Congress's performance is key to the performance of the overall India alliance, especially at a time when Prime Minister and all top BJP strategists have been saying that Congress is pulling down alliances, that it's a parasite party. So Congress has to really fight very hard to erase that tag. And why is it important for the opposition? BJP, of course, it's important. BJP is winning states.
Yes.
And for them, the pro-incumbency narrative, which is a new narrative Prime Minister and JP Nadda, the BJP chief, have been spreading, that we are a pro-incumbency party. We are being voted back to power in every state where
yes.
we go. Whereas India bloc is being pulled down by the Congress. Congress is in power in just three states right now. It's in power in Himachal, Karnataka and Telangana. India bloc parties are in power in a very small segment of states. So, you know, the momentum that they had caught on after the Lok Sabha election, where the BJP was short of majority, that momentum was interrupted in Haryana. If they lose Maharashtra and maybe later whatever is their performance in Jharkhand, that will determine the momentum of which side who will go. The leader of opposition, we know, Rahul Gandhi, is very upbeat after Lok Sabha election results. So his team, whether it continues or it dips, will depend on these results.
And now let's go over to Mumbai, where our correspondent Nisha Rani has filed this report on the Maharashtra Assembly elections.
Maharashtra is all set to go to polls on 20th November. The state assembly has a total of 288 seats, which include 234 general constituencies, 25 scheduled caste and 29 seats reserved for scheduled tribes. In the 2019 assembly polls, BJP had 105 seats, while the Shiv Sena had 156. The opposition Congress had claimed 44, while NCP had grabbed 54 seats. However, the state's political landscape has changed dramatically since then. Even though the BJP and Shiv Sena alliance was voted to power, a dispute over the chief minister's post led Uddhav Thackeray to break his alliance with the BJP and form a government with the help of Congress and NCP. Ideological differences forced a rebellion in the Shiv Sena led by Eknath Shinde in June 2022, causing a split in the party. As most elected representatives supported Mr. Shinde, he was sworn in as chief minister on 30th June 2022 with the support of BJP. Almost a year later, NCP leader Ajit Pawar sparked a rift in his party. He, along with a group of MLAs, joined the BJP Shiv Sena ruling coalition on 2nd July 2023. Accordingly, the major contest in this assembly elections is between the ruling alliance of BJP, Shiv Sena and NCP, and the opposition alliance of Congress, Shiv Sena Uddhav Balasaheb Thackeray and NCP Sharad Chandra Pawar. However, Raj Thackeray-led Maharashtra Navnirman Sena and Prakash Ambedkar-led Vanchit Bahujan Agadi will ensure triangular contest on many seats.
So, Sandeep, I'll come to you. You know, if we talk about Maharashtra, a lot has happened since 2019 elections. We saw governments being formed, governments crumbled, there was a president rule, there were divisions in the parties, new coalitions came up. So, for the two main alliances, the Mahayuti and the Mahavikas Agadi, what is at stake and how might the shifting alliances impact the outcome of these elections?
Yeah, so there is a lot at stake. First of all, Maharashtra is one state where there were 48 Lok Sabha seats. In 2024, the Mahayuti did not do well at all. And in fact, Congress had emerged as the single largest party. So quite clearly, and the Mahavikas Agadi had really done well. The immediate background is that the Lok Sabha elections, the Mahayuti was down, but they would certainly, that's why they would look to turn corner and they would want to do well and do better. So their argument is that whatever had to happen has happened and now things are only looking up. They are also betting big on, they are placing their bets on welfare schemes that the Shinde government has announced and implemented recent times. The other aspect of these elections is that in this election, there are two major alliances, the Mahayuti and the Mahavikas Agadi. And if you see, apart from Congress and BJP, both the other big players have had a split.
Yes.
The Nationalist Congress Party is now split into two, one led by Ajit Pawar, which is part of the Mahayuti, the other led by Sharad Pawar, which is part of the Mahavikas Agadi. Same is the case with the Shiv Sena, where yes, Uddhav Thackeray is part of Mahavikas Agadi and Mr. Shinde. Chief Minister Shinde is, Eknath Shinde is actually part of Mahayuti, is going with his face as into these elections as the leader. So it's a tricky election. They're all coming together and it'll be very important for both the sides to win this state. As I said, that this is a big prize for any political formation or any political party. And as Aditi rightly said, that this winning Maharashtra or retaining Maharashtra would actually further the pro-incumbency narrative for the ruling alliance or for the BJP. Whereas if the MVA can come to power, then it'll be a big break for them as well, because Maharashtra is a big state.
Yes.
So winning a big state, and in any case, let's not forget the other state is Jharkhand, where the India bloc is in power, and there is bound to be anti-incumbency no matter what parties claim. So every party will try to win, but you know, comparatively, Maharashtra is a bigger prize and both sides would want in their fold.
And now I'm joined by Madhvi Kulkarni, Akashwani correspondent from Pune. Madhvi, what can you tell us about the campaigning in your city?
In Pune, the major six political parties contesting the election are Bharatiya Janata Party, Congress, Shiv Sena Uddhav Balasaheb Thackeray faction, NCP and NCP Sharad Chandra Pawar faction. Additionally, parties like Maharashtra Navanirman Sena, Vanchit Bahujan Aghadi and Bahujan Samaj Party are also in fray. After Diwali, the election campaign has truly kicked off. Senior leaders like Sharad Pawar, Ajit Pawar and Devendra Fadnavis have held rallies in various constituencies for their candidates. Currently, most candidates are focusing on ground-level campaigning through bike rallies and padayatras. BJP leader and Prime Minister Narendra Modi will hold a public rally in Pune next week. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi is also scheduled to embark on campaign tour of Maharashtra. After these events, the pace of campaigning is expected to accelerate further.
Aditi, as Sandeep was saying, split in the party. Parties have split since then. New coalitions have been formed. Is it going to have negative or a positive effect for any of the parties?
No, see, if you look at it from the perspective of deepening of democracy, the more the better. Everybody has a right to contest. Everybody has a right to test their mettle. But there is an unpredictable X factor in Maharashtra elections this time. Sandeep is right when he points out Maharashtra is not just any other state. It is the state which has the highest FDI flows in India.
Yes.
It is the top state in the country.
It's the economic
powerhouse of the country. Of course, competing with Gujarat now. But that besides the point. What I'm trying to say is that the future of regional parties, NCP and Shiv Sena, the future of political dynasties, the Pawar dynasty and the Uddhav Thackeray dynasty, depends on the results of these elections. Of course, Uddhav Thackeray's faction of Shiv Sena, which is part of the opposition Mahavikas Agadi, did very well in the Lok Sabha elections. But that's not good enough for him because he's after all a regional satra. He has to prove that he's worthy of his father's legacy, Balasaheb Thackeray's legacy. and for Eknath Shinde to have rebelled against Uddhav Thackeray, a dynast, a formidable dynast, the battle of two Marathas, three Marathas in fact, Sharad Pawar on the opposition side and Uddhav Thackeray on one side with him. On the opposite side, you have Shinde. So you see, BJP has not disturbed Shinde. They are going into this election under his leadership. There's a reason for that, because, you know, the big Maratha battle is on. And community leaders are important these days because they represent mass aspirations. So futures of political dynasties, futures of individual leaders, and of course of two national parties, BJP and Congress, are at stake.
And now let's go over to Akashvani correspondent KK Lal from Jharkhand, who's with us now. Mr. Lal, what are the main issues that are, dominating the campaign this time in Jharkhand?
The issues which are dominating these elections include alleged Bangladeshi infiltration, corruption charges against the Hemant Soren government, and face-off between the Jharkhand Mukti Morcha and BJP over the monthly cash transfer scheme. Anubha, the most contentious issue the BJP has been raising for months is an alleged decline in the tribal population in Santhal Pargana areas due to infiltration by Bangladeshi and Rohingya. Corruption charges against the Hemant Soren are also dominating. Besides Soren, his ministerial colleague Alamgir Alam was also arrested and sent to jail in an alleged commission scam after enforcement director recovered rupees 35 crore from premises linked to officials of this department. Other issues, question paper leaks and the death of 15 aspirants during a recruitment drive for excise constables also provided the opposition opportunities to corner the Soren government. In recent times, both the GMM and the BJP have indulged in a tug of war over the state government's monthly cash transfer scheme. Hemant Soren launched Mukhyamantri Maiya Samman Yojana, under which eligible women between 18 to 50 years receive 1,000 per month. Right. The BJP then announced it would launch a Gogo Didi Yojana, providing eligible women rupees 2,100 per month if voted to power. To counter this, the Jharkhand cabinet hiked the amount to 2,500.
Right. Thank you for that update, Mr. Lal. Do stay with us. We will get back to you. Aditi, as we just heard, Akashvani correspondent KK Lal from Jharkhand, he's talking about the issues. He's talking about the fact that, you know, there are corruption charges against the incumbent the government is facing. He talked about the tribal issues. So since the formation, the state formed in 2000, Jharkhand has been a major stronghold of the BJP. But of course, it faced a setback in 2019. This time round, though, do you think the BJP will be able to capitalize on the dissatisfaction with the current government, particularly in terms of issues like corruption, unemployment and law and order concerns, as KK Lal was saying?
BJP is banking big time in Jharkhand on the issue of alleged illegal Bangladeshi immigration. They have in fact coined their entire slogan around this. Prime Minister and earlier Mr. Amit Shah, who had unveiled the Jharkhand manifesto of the BJP, had said that Roti Mati Beti is going to be our slogan in Jharkhand. So I do believe that to some extent on the ground, they have managed to strike an emotional chord with the people of Santhal Pargana, which is important because majority of the ST reserved seats in Jharkhand are from this particular region. And this is the region where allegedly a lot of tribal land has been captured by elements that are yet to be investigated. The matter has gone to court. And in the court, as Prime Minister recently in his rally said in Jharkhand, that the state government has said that we are practically not going to address this issue, that there is no illegal capturing of land, etc. So this is a highly emotive issue where the BJP is actually saying that the tribal population is majorly declining as against the Muslim population, which is rising. So they have raked up an issue of identity. That is their top prop against Hemant Soren, who's the topmost tribal leader.
Yes.
We all know that, you know, his father was the one who led the movement for the creation of Jharkhand. So how do you counter such a man? You need an equally powerful emotional weapon, which is this particular Roti Mati Beti campaign. Plus, you have the issue of dynasty politics against Hemant Soren and Congress in Jharkhand. And of course, corruption. So what is that plus factor that's going to swing the votes in their favor? In Jharkhand, for BJP, it is the Bangladeshi immigration. For Hemant Soren, it is the tribal identity. So that is the narrative. But women are the key voters. If you look at women, all parties are trying to woo women, not just in Maharashtra, but also in Jharkhand.
Sandeep, continuing with Jharkhand, you know, Chief Minister Hemant Soren got arrested, then he was released on bail. He again assumed the position of the chief minister, and then after that his successor, Champai Soren, you know, he joined the BJP. Now, these developments, do you think it's going to work to the advantage of either the JMM or the BJP in any way?
Well, tribal identity is an issue that both the parties have raised, but differently. In terms of the Jharkhand Mukti Morcha, they are saying that the BJP has done its utmost to insult a sitting tribal chief minister. They put him in jail, you know, leveled all kinds of charges against him. So the tribal Adivasi Asmita, you know, the pride of the tribal, is something that the Jharkhand Mukti Morcha and the Congress Alliance is playing with, the India bloc is playing with, saying that BJP does not respect tribals. And that is why put up these cases against him, put him in jail. So that is the emotional connect that they are trying to reach out. On the other side, BJP is also talking about tribal identity, but from a different perspective, saying that the Jharkhand Mukti Morcha Congress government has actually sat on the issue of infiltration because it's a bordering state. Bangladeshi immigrants, undocumented migrants, immigrants, illegal immigrants have come, have settled, and they have married tribal women, and through that route they have taken over property. Okay. So this is an issue that has come up in several rallies, at least a couple of rallies of the Prime Minister and Home Minister Amit Shah, where he talked about this, what Aditi just said, you know, Mati Beti. So both sides are actually playing this outsider-insider battle, but from different perspectives. One has to wait and see how this plays out, you know, in the minds of the voters.
And now let's go over to Mumbai, where Akashvani correspondent Prarthna is with us. Prarthna, welcome to the program. Prime Minister Narendra Modi started his campaign in Maharashtra today. What can you tell about his rallies today, and how is the campaigning progressing from the point of view of other parties?
So as part of his campaign for the Maharashtra Assembly elections, Prime Minister and senior BJP leader Narendra Modi today addressed his first public meetings in Dhule and Nashik. In his vote appeal, Prime Minister has mainly focused on the development plank. Mr. Modi highlighted that the Mahayuti government has brought unprecedented development in Maharashtra and restored the former glory of the state. Referring to the Mahayuti manifesto, Mr. Modi said that he promised that the Mahayuti government will take Maharashtra to newer heights of development if they're voted back to power. He highlighted major schemes of both the NDA government at the center and the Mahayuti government in Maharashtra. And he said that they're all aimed at the welfare of women and farmers. Speaking specifically about the farmers, he said that the farmers in the state are receiving a financial aid of about 12,000 annually under the PM Kisan and the Namo Shetkari scheme. And Anubha, he said that he promised that this aid will be increased to 15,000 rupees if the alliance, the Mahayuti alliance, is voted back to power in the state. Mr. Modi also noted that the government recently accorded the classical language status to Marathi language, and he has been speaking about it in all his rallies and also other public meetings that we saw in the state earlier. He also noted that Maharashtra has been the state, so this is also a fact, that Maharashtra has become the state with the highest foreign direct investment straight for last 2 years. Highlighting the infrastructural projects that we have seen, the inaugurations recently, Atal Setu, Vadhavan Port, Samruddhi Mahamarg, Mumbai Metro, he said these are all achievements of the government, and he accused the opposition Mahavikas Aghadi Alliance of stalling these infrastructure projects. Now, coming to the second part of your question, Anubha, the campaigning for other parties progressing. So yes, day before yesterday, leader of opposition in Lok Sabha and Congress leader Rahul Gandhi was here in Mumbai. He announced 5 key promises for Maharashtra elections. Among the guarantees was that if they are voted to power, they will give a financial aid of rupees 3,000 to women and free bus travel for women and girls, a loan waiver up to 3 lakh to farmers, and an incentive of 50,000 for regular loan repayment. Rahul Gandhi now will hold campaigns in Mumbai on 12, 14 and 16 November, while Priyanka Gandhi will address rallies on 13, 16, and 17 November. Shiv Sena released its election manifesto in Mumbai yesterday, and they have made a huge promise to the residents of Dharavi redevelopment program. Coming to other parties, NCP SP Chief Sharad Pawar was campaigning in favor of MVA candidates in Wardha and Parbhani today. Member of Parliament and NCP SP leader Supriya Sule campaigned in Pune, and NCP SP leader Jayant Patil canvassed in Chiplun and Solapur. MNS Chief Raj Thackeray was canvassing in Guhagar today. Back to you, Anubha.
Thank you for that update, Prarthna. Aditi, we just heard our correspondent. So an interesting thing in Maharashtra that we've seen, which seems to be sort of a replay of the Lok Sabha elections, is the Baramati seat, right? It's going to be again Pawar versus Pawar. So this time it's going to be Sharad Pawar's grandnephew, Yogendra Pawar, who's going to be contesting from the SP faction. So he's going to be contesting against the sitting MLA, Ajit Pawar. How do you view this particular contest? Is this a continuation of the fight to establish the supremacy by the two factions?
Baramati is just a prestige battle. I would not say it is more than that, because the entire Maharashtra battle is a battle for futures of parties and is a much bigger battle than just a fight between two intra-family rivalry, which is Ajit Pawar versus the grandnephew of Sharad Pawar, as you said. And of course, Ajit Pawar, after having fielded his wife against his cousin Supriya Sule, had regretted it and of course said, ki, I should not have done it, but it was too late by then. He had to say it because he lost heavily. That besides the point, the importance of Marathwada region lies in the fact that it is the hotbed of Maratha agitation. It is the place where the Maratha Kota agitation hero, the Manoj Jarange Patil, hails from, the 42-year-old activist, yes, who sat on hunger strike and who literally shook the, you know, Mahayuti government. And he has been earlier accusing Devendra Fadnavis, who is currently the deputy chief minister, of not giving the Marathas their due, and he has withdrawn from this election. So both sides, Mahayuti, which is the ruling faction, and MVA, which is the opposition, are saying that the withdrawal of Jarange Patil is going to benefit us. So who is his withdrawal going to benefit? Time will tell. But what we know from what we hear and what we observe is that Jarange Patil's presence in the Lok Sabha elections had heavily hit the prospects of the ruling alliance. In the entire Marathwada region, there are 8 Lok Sabha seats, out of which the ruling alliance could only win 1. So that is the importance of that particular region. My own understanding is that Jarange Patil's withdrawal is advantage BJP-led alliance.
Staying on with Maharashtra, let's go over to Nagpur, where Dhananjay Vankhade is with us. Dhananjay, what is the latest you have for us from the ground there, the Vidarbha region? How is it campaigning progressing? What are the main leaders there who are contesting?
Yes, Anubha, the Vidarbha region includes 62 seats out of the 288 assembly seats in Maharashtra. It is one of the important regions which consists of sitting Deputy Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis, the state BJP President Chandrasekhar Bavankule, Maharashtra Pradesh Congress Committee Chairman Nana Patole, and the leader of opposition in Vidhan Sabha Vijay Vadettivar. All these leaders will contest from their respective constituencies in the Vidarbha region. And so it will be interesting who will retain the Vidarbha fort in the upcoming polls. Anubha.
Sandeep, as Dhananjay was just telling us, prominent names, you know, from both the parties, the deputy chief minister, the state party president, very important region of Maharashtra is Vidarbha. And not just because of the, you know, heavyweights that are contesting from there, but there are other issues, the farmers issues that has been, you know, that has been there for years now. What is the significance of this particular region so far as Maharashtra politics is concerned and how it might impact these elections?
This Vidarbha is a extremely crucial region for both. It will be a crucial region for both the alliances. The Congress would surely try to take up the issue of farmers and, you know, especially the issue of right now the prices of onions and what it is doing to the farmers and the policy with regard to export of onions. So that is one issue, and which is why in today's, you know, when the Prime Minister addressed his rally today, he did talk about the welfare schemes, you know, that his government and the state government have brought out for farmers. So farmers is a very important constituency. Both sides would like to do it, but this was one constituency that actually the Mahavikas Agari, they reaped the benefits of anger among sections of farmers in the run-up to the Lok Sabha elections. Will that anger still stay on, or has the Mahayuti government been able to actually blunt that anger? One has to see, because what Aditi was mentioning, one big, from whatever little I have talked to politicians on the ground, they say that this their version of Ladli Behna, I think it's called Larki Behen. So that is a big, you know, it's a big hit among rural areas. If that becomes a big hit and that takes away the anger, then, you know, Mahayuti will certainly look to make gains in the Vidarbha region as well. If that is not the case, then the Mahavikas Aghadi would like to make inroads into the farmer section. So for both alliances, this region is, both the regions actually, Vidarbha and Marathwada, both very important.
Let's move to Jharkhand now. Let's connect with our correspondent KK Lal once again. Mr. Lal, the two main coalitions in the state are the BJP-led NDA and the India Bloc, which includes the ruling JMM. Now, compared to 2019, when the BJP fought the elections alone, how has the political landscape changed in Jharkhand this time in terms of coalitions?
Anubha, political scenario is quite different in comparison to 2019 assembly elections. The NDA comprises BJP, Aatsu Party, Janata Dal United and Chirag Paswan led Lok Jan Shakti Party. In last assembly election, allies of NDA fought elections separately, but this time they are united. On the other hand, India bloc comprises Jharkhand Mukti Morcha, Congress, RJD and CPI-ML. These parties fought 2019 assembly election jointly and this time they are also united. On the other hand, NCP is contesting one seat while CPI is contesting 15 seats separately. Anubha.
Sandeep, we just heard Mr. Lal because, and as I was asking him also, that last time the political scenario was different, the coalition was different. This time there are differences, you know, the new coalitions and new blocs have come up. How is it going to impact both the blocs?
First of all, the BJP was in power and they were the incumbent party when they faced the last elections. And they had to make way for JMM Congress coalition. So I believe that, you know, usually if there is anti-incumbency that is built up, and BJP is a very good party when it is in the opposition, they're a very active, proactive opposition party. So if they've been able to build up sense of anti-incumbency, it'll help them. And it'll help them even further if there is a consolidation of your, you know, anti-government votes in your favor. So last time around, the JDU, Janata Dal United, was not with them.
Yes.
But after that, now they have come together. So obviously, and now you also have Chirag Paswan's party. So, and then the AGSU.
Yes.
So All Jharkhand Students Union. So, you know, it's a, they're going with a combined force to take on. On the other side, of course, though India bloc is by and large united, but I think the CPI contested on some seats, they are contesting separately because they couldn't come to an agreement. So we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, you know, if you fight unitedly, it's always advantage to that political formation. I would say that BJP, to that extent, from 2019, having partners and going in, unitedly will certainly help them.
Aditi, your comment. Do you think the new political equation in the state, the changed political landscape in Jharkhand, who is it going to benefit? The BJP-led NDA or will the India bloc, you know, because last time also they're going with more or less the same parties this time. So do you think that is to their advantage?
See, coalition, of course, it was the JDU that left the BJP in the first place. So, I mean, it was not as though the BJP left the JDU. So JDU has a history of this back and forth. But yes, you know, what is striking is that at one point of time, it appeared that we are veering towards a one dominant national party scenario in the country. But that does not appear to be the case, as the Lok Sabha elections taught us. 2024 election results have somewhat humbled the BJP and they do understand the importance of alliances. So they have gone an extra mile this time to accommodate allies. That is the takeaway. The takeaway is that they realize that coalitions are important. You cannot write off regional parties. You cannot write off Eknath Shinde or Uddhav Thackeray or Sharad Pawar in Maharashtra. Likewise, you cannot write off the importance of JDU or LJP or All Jharkhand Students Union. AJSU was as much a part of the Jharkhand formation movement as was the JMM. So the takeaway from these coalitions is, more than the fact as to who will benefit, what it shows us is that coalitions are here to stay.
Sandeep, Aditi, thank you so much for joining us on this program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And for our listeners, do stay tuned into Akashvani for all the latest updates for the assembly elections to Maharashtra and Jharkhand.
You were listening to a discussion on assembly elections in Maharashtra and Jharkhand. The participants were Sandeep Hukan and Aditi Tandon, political analysts. The moderator was Anubha Rodhki, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.